Well, good evening, everyone, and especially warm welcome to you tonight if you're here from United. It's so good to see you here. If you're who's here from United tonight, let's have a show of hands. Three of you, no, more than that. From the United International Cafe. Great, I can see a few more. Good to see you anyway. Welcome tonight. It's really good to have you here, and thanks for coming. Right, tonight, actually, David asked me to share a word that God spoke to me. And it was a word that God spoke to me while I was cutting Mary Hitchin's lawn. And so God spoke to me, and so I wrote it down and chewed on it for a little while, and then God enabled me just to put it in some sort of format to share with you tonight. And really I want to look at is a passage about faith in Hebrews 11, and that's on 1209 in the Church Bibles. And I'm going to read from verses 1 to 6. God's word says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made of what was invisible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commanded as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Shall we pray? Father, I just pray that tonight, that as we come together as God's people, thank you, Lord, that we can say that. Lord, we come here tonight to want to hear from you. And Lord, we want to have our faith built up tonight by you. So Lord, we just welcome you by your Spirit. Come have your way amongst us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Great. Well, I'd like to start by sharing with you a story. And this was some time ago. And it's two stories about two different antiques. One is a painting, which we got a picture for up on the screen. It's called the Scream Painting. Some of you might have heard about this painting. This world record selling painting for £74 million, I think it was, in 12 minutes. Someone so valued this painting that they decided to pay so much money for this painting. It was so valuable, they wanted to give lots and lots of money for it. And the second story of antiques is about a family who had this heirloom, and there's a picture of it coming up now, and this is a gold chain, and this family, they called this their golden lifeboat, and what this was, it was an inheritance they had of Tudor origin, and it was a gold chain, and what they were going to do is when difficulty came, they were going to launch their golden lifeboat and sell it to be able to pay for repairs on their stately home. The only problem was when they decided to sell it, the valuers undervalued it by quite a significant amount of money. So it went to auction and sold. And then 2 weeks later, the owners resold it for five times the amount, I think it was, than what the original owners sold it for. They'd had their item undervalued. And so we see here two stories. One of a picture where someone thought, this is so valuable, I've just got to buy it. And then another picture where someone had their item undervalued and lived to regret it. In fact, they even lost their home as a result of the legal fees they had to pay. And so really I want to share with you tonight about our faith. And are you valuing your faith? Are you like the person who paid a lot of money for a picture? Or are you maybe feeling tonight, you know what, I've not really been valuing my faith very much. And you know, I could run the risk of living to regret it. And so the two stories here give us that thing of one valuing and one undervaluing. And I really want to say three things about faith. Firstly, I want to say about the value of faith. Secondly, we're going to look at the power of faith. And lastly, we're going to look at the reward of faith. So let's start by just thinking a little bit about what faith is. And this passage starts with telling us what faith is, verse number one. It says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So faith is confidence in God first and foremost. That's who we base our faith on. Our faith is based on evidence and facts from the Bible. We can stand on that of a real living God. We can place our trust in him. So our confidence is in God, and we believe in him and trust him. And we know what he's like through the Bible, through Jesus is an example of what God's like. God the Father showed us what God the Father was like. He pointed us to God the Father. And so we can have confidence in his character, his nature of who he is and what he's like. And we can also stand on his promises. The Bible's full of promises for us. And we can come and stand on his promises. So that's what faith is. It's trusting and believing in God, standing on his promises, trusting in his character and who he is. Peter tells us about the value of faith. He says, now your faith is worth greater than gold. Your faith is worth greater than gold. Our faith is so valuable. Our faith in God, because of who he is and what he's done for us, is of great value. Even if you get nothing out of the talk tonight, then please take that home, that your faith, if you trust in Jesus, is of the most utmost value. It's priceless. It's worth more than any other created thing in the world. It's trusting and believing in the creator of all things. And so our faith is precious. And actually, faith in itself is like the currency of God's kingdom. When we trust God, when we believe in him, it's the currency for God's kingdom. Jesus talked about two stories in particular that I picked out in Matthew's gospel. One of them is a man who found treasure in a field. He went and found treasure. And he liked what he saw in this field. In fact, he loved what he saw in this field. It was so important to him, he sold everything he had to buy this field. He sold everything he had because this treasure was of great value to him. Jesus also says that our faith is so valuable, like a pearl trader who goes and finds pearls of great worth. And when he finds this prized pearl, he sells everything he has to buy this pearl. He has to have it. He wants it. It's beautiful. It's special to him. Friends, that's what Jesus is saying our faith is. It's of great value. And it's of great value not because faith in itself is valuable. We can believe in lots of different things, can't we? But our faith is of great value because of who we trust in. It's believing in God. That's what makes our faith of great value. Why else is faith so valuable? Well, in verse 6, the writer tells us, without it, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's not hard or difficult. It's impossible. And it doesn't matter how good you are, how kind you are, how loving you are. They're great qualities, aren't they? But without faith, it's impossible to please God. The things we value in life often become apparent to other people, don't they, and those around us. The things that we work for, that we treasure, things that we want. Maybe it's a job or a career you're wanting or treasuring. Maybe it's a nice home and you're putting a lot of value on that. Maybe it's a relationship you're pursuing. Maybe that's of great value to you. Maybe it's your financial status is important and of great value to you. Now, these things in themselves aren't always wrong, but it's when we value them over God is when it becomes a problem. When we put our trust in these things as opposed to God, when we value these things above God, it's when others start to see those things in our lives as opposed to seeing the wonders and the beauty of God in our lives. And we need to value him and our faith in him and put him first above all other things. Because when we do that, others get to see him at work. When we start to value God above other things that we have in our lives, others start to see that actually that's the most important thing in our lives. That Jesus is the most important thing, not the stuff we accumulate around us. And Jesus was looking for faith everywhere. He was on a mission to find faith. He was always rebuking his disciples, wasn't he? Various things. The feeding of the 4,000. Who's going to provide for all these people, Jesus, they said. Who's going to come and provide the food that they need? Maybe you're thinking about that in a situation in your life at the moment. How are you going to provide, God? Jesus said, your lack of faith. I can provide. They'd seen amazing miracles all the time they'd been around him, and yet they still had a lack of faith. And Jesus, of course, performed an amazing miracle there. In the calming of the storm, when the storm broke out in the boat, their lack of faith, they were scared and frightened. They had to trust in Jesus, who stilled the storm. Jesus was on his way to a Roman centurion, and his servants came to him. And this Roman centurion, I'm sure many of you know the story, had a sick servant. And while Jesus was on his way there, this Roman centurion sent more people to come and speak to Jesus. And they said to Jesus, "Look, just say the word, and our servant will be healed." You know, Jesus was so amazed by that bold statement of faith, he turned around to the crowd and said, "I have not found faith in the whole of Israel that I'd seen in this Roman centurion." It's faith he's looking for, faith in our lives. It's when we value him and value our faith. Is what pleases him. He says, "When I come to the earth, will I find faith?" That's a good question, isn't it? When he comes to the earth, will he find faith? Will we be people that value him and treasure our faith above all things? As I've been enjoying this passage of Hebrews 11, and it's a wonderful passage, isn't it? It's just so encouraging and so challenging. These people that live by faith in various situations and circumstances. It wasn't always easy, and I see that in their lives. The struggles they must have faced, the battles they must have faced. It's not always easy. And in fact, as I was reading it, it says that none of them received their reward. But God did amazing things through them. And we know that one day they will receive and have received their reward. But Moses, if we just look at Moses as an example, and he's further on down the passage, verse 24. I'd like to draw him out in particular, because it says here, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known of the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with God's people rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Guys, Moses could have been the richest man in Egypt. Egypt was a very rich place. What would you do if you were Moses? Would you go and enjoy the high life that he could have had? The wining and dining in nice restaurants or whatever it was that he had. Moses could have been a man of great authority and could have been a man in Egypt, particularly enjoying the great value of wealth. But he chose to forsake that by valuing his faith in God and forsaking the treasures of Egypt for the reward in heaven. What an example he is. Isn't that amazing? Such was the value he placed on his faith in God that it changed his life. It changed who he was. It changed everything about him. He said, "You know, I don't mind living a hard life here. I don't mind forsaking these pleasures for a short time because I want to look forward to my reward. I want to go to heaven and enjoy Jesus and be thankful for all that he has and all the blessings he had for being obedient to what God was calling him to." And the thing is with our faith, when we start to evaluate, as I said earlier, people start to notice it. And quite an interesting thing that I was thinking of is some people, I've never ever heard anyone say, "You know what, I really admire the way that you go to church." I've never heard anyone say, "I really admire your religion." But I have heard people say, "I really admire your faith. I really admire your faith." And that's what happens when we value it, when we place our trust in Jesus and we put it above all the other things in our lives. When we truly value our faith, others can see. It becomes apparent to those around us. And when it starts to become apparent, it starts to become powerful. And that's what we want to look at next, is the power of faith. Because faith is powerful. Faith is the most powerful thing in the world. I don't know what you think is powerful, but I'm telling you, faith is the most powerful thing in the world. Not faith in itself is powerful, but the faith in the God that we believe in that's powerful. He's the one that created the world. He's the one that can move in amazing ways. He's the one that has the power at his disposal. It can change lives. It can change destinies. It can change circumstances. It can change situations. It can change us. Jesus talks about faith being like a mustard seed, so small. It's one of very, very, very small seed. Yet when it's planted in the ground, it grows to be the most amazing tree. A massive tree. Starts off so small, but when it's planted, it grows to be so big. Faith is powerful. Jesus says that faith is like yeast. It spreads. It's powerful. It grows to be big, but it also spreads. When we value God, when we step out in faith, it's powerful. Others can see it. It has the ability to change lives. When we step out, God steps in and moves in amazing ways. He moves mountains for us. Jesus talks about our faith can move mountains. Therefore, I tell you, he says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Faith has the power to do amazing things. Most of you know that I've got two children, both boys. One's about 9 months old now and one's just over 2.5 years old. And the amazing thing is when they trust me, I think my oldest son thinks I can do everything, actually. He's going to be very greatly disappointed when he grows up. But when he trusts me, when he says, Daddy, would you do this for me? Would you help me? Would you help me in this situation? Would you do this for me? Do you know what? It's amazing for me. It really encourages me. But it's not until he asks, it's not until he steps out that I can move in and he can see the power. You see, the thing is with faith, it's like a muscle. It needs to be exercised. We need to keep exercising our faith. My brother-in-law, much to my jealousy, is very fit. He's a triathlete. He's Team GB, amateur level. He's always training. When we go on holiday with the family, he's training. And I said to him one day, I said, why are you always training? Why are you always training and running and cycling and swimming? And he said this. He said, if I don't use it, I'll lose it. And that's the same, isn't it, with our faith? If we're not exercising it, if we're not stepping out in it, if we're not using our faith, it becomes weak and it starts to become not as strong as it would do if we built it up. And there's lots of ways that we can build faith. You might have seen the life shape of a triangle that we have here that many people have seen. It has an upward relationship with God, an inward relationship with others around us, and an outward relationship with those who don't know Jesus. And that's a great way of building faith. Upward with God, reading God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. When we hear it, when we read it, that builds faith in us. When we pray, God answers prayer. He speaks to us. That builds faith. When we gather together as a church body, in prayer nights or in church services, or whether it's one-on-one with someone in discipleship, that stirs faith, that builds faith. And when we go out and tell others about Jesus, when we go and share our faith, that has power to build faith in us as well. And maybe if you feel that your faith isn't so strong at the moment, or maybe you find your faith is in a good, healthy position, sometimes when our faith and when my faith hasn't been as strong, it's probably because I'm neglecting one of these three things. And normally it's the up. Maybe it's the prayer, maybe not being your prayer or your Bible reading, because that's where it happens, isn't it? People that struggle with their faith, you could probably track it back and say, where did it go wrong? Well, I've not been reading my Bible. I've not been praying. I've not been gathering in church. I've been missing. These are all ways that we can build faith, and hopefully we'll be with our faith muscles. So that is the power of faith. Power of faith, the powerful thing in the world, the most powerful thing. And lastly, I just want to talk about is the reward of faith. The reward of faith. You know, our faith in God is going to be rewarded. Maybe you need to hear that tonight. Your faith in God will be rewarded. And I think, well, the Bible's clear, isn't it? It tells us that our faith will be rewarded when we meet Jesus, either when we meet him face to face or when he comes back. And Paul in his letter to Timothy says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. This is 2 Timothy 7. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness that I receive by faith. The reward we get will be amazing. It'll be a reward you can't find anywhere else. It's only in heaven. and only with Jesus. It's an amazing reward for those who believe in God, those who trust him. The amazing reward of faith is our end goal is being with him. But also our reward of faith is we can have it now. We can have God in our lives now. God is with us tonight, praise God. He's with us by his Spirit. But we can also have him now. That whatever you're going through, as David said right at the beginning of the service, God is with you. Whatever you're going to face tomorrow, God is with you. Whatever it might be, God is with you. That he can have his presence. He rewards us with his presence in our lives. So maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, you know, am I valuing my faith? Am I valuing it above the things that can so easily take pride in our lives? The material things, the pride, or various other things we can value over our faith. And others get to see that. Or are we going to value Jesus more and say, actually, I really want to value him. I'm going to live a radical life for him. And others can see that we're valuing him. Or maybe you think, you know, I could do the seeing more of the power of faith in life, in my life at the moment. And you'd love to have that prayer life where you really believe God's going to do amazing things in your life. Or maybe you just need to be reminded that you'll be rewarded, and maybe you feel that you need more of God's Spirit, more of his presence in your life at the moment. And we're going to carry on worshipping God, and I'm going to ask David to come up and pray for us, and we're going to have a time of extended prayer. Maybe there's one of those three things that you like prayer for. I'm going to be prayed for tonight, and pray that God would help me with more of his presence in my life, that I would value him above others. Because I think it's a struggle that's not just something we can just put to bed. I think it's a daily struggle. It's something we need to keep doing. So I'm going to hand over to our pastor, and maybe the music team are going to come up now, and we can pray to this awesome God that we love and value.
Thanks so much, Matt. How's your faith? How do the people around you think you value your faith? And because Jesus is looking for your faith tonight, he's not looking at how well you did at work last week or how much serving you've done for him today. He's not looking at how nicely you're dressed or the size of your bank account. He's looking for your faith. What does he see tonight? So my heart's desire is that the rest of this service would be a time where we grow in faith. So I'm just going to pray. The band's going to play. We're going to fix our eyes on the Lord. We're going to remember his word. And I'm going to pray that just God would grow faith now as we exercise it, as we receive faith as a gift. It's something we receive from God as we hear his word and as we look to him. But faith is also something we grow in as we use it too and step out in faith. So Lord, I pray tonight, please, as you come and be with us, as you promise you will be, Lord, please may you find faith amongst us. Lord, grow my faith. Lord, I pray this will be a sweet time of worship, of prayer, of ministry. Lord, come, Holy Spirit, fall afresh on us, I pray. There was a man who came to Jesus. And he said this, Lord, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Maybe just in the quietness of your heart, you might want to echo that tonight. Just as we start in this time of prayer. Lord, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. We just say again, you are everything to us, Lord. We pray, grow our faith, guard our faith. Help us now as we worship, Lord, to know that we worship not in a kind of lukewarm way, Lord, not in any kind of sense of we're here just to do a service. We're here, Lord, because you are everything to us, Lord. You matter more than anyone or anything. And Lord, we pray now as we stand, Lord, come and move upon us by your Holy Spirit. Lift our hearts in praise, we pray, Lord, that we might know Jesus. That it's through our faith and our trust in you, the Savior of the world.